God is good. I feel victory here. I perceive just a sweet presence of God here, and I'm enjoying it. I hope you are as well. It's my pleasure to introduce a good friend of mine that I've known for a number of years, Brother Brooks. We have known him, I don't know how many years have we known the Brooks now. I've known Alyssa, well, I've known 9 years. Wow, that makes me feel a little old. But it has been a great pleasure to watch this couple grow in ministry. I'm excited that they're here with us. I'm going to turn things over to them. I want them to take their liberty. I don't know if they're going to do a song. It appears they're going to do a song. It's looking song-like. I don't know what we're going here. Brother Brooks, minister the word to us. Thank you for being here with us. And we're going to see what happens in Jesus' name. Thank you so much.
Well, good morning, everybody. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord to those who came and helped get the service running today. And praise the Lord to all of you on the live stream. If we have any guests, this is your first time tuning in, welcome. Welcome to Family Apostolic Church. I just want to say big thank you to Pastor Lynn and his family for letting my wife Alyssa and I come and be with you today. As Pastor just mentioned, he's known us for, he and his wife, their family have known us for a while now, ever since I got into the church, almost 10 years ago. They were there and in Grand Ledge, and they've played such an instrumental role in my development as well as my wife's. They mentored us. They believed in us. They supported us. And I think I credit Pastor Scott and his family to giving me a love for the ministry, a love for the Word of God. They were the ones that really, in a lot of ways, mentored us into the ministry. So we thank them so much for all that they've done. I'd like to commend those of you here today who are helping get the service together. Thank you so much for being here. It makes us happy to know that the Lynns have such an awesome group of people who love them and want to support them and believe in what God's doing here in South Lyon. That is so awesome, so awesome. And thank you so much to everybody for making us feel so welcome. This is our first time actually being in a service with all of you. And we feel, I can speak for myself, feel at home. Thank you so much for making us just feel so comfortable and so welcome. Okay, all right. We're going to get right into the message this morning. If you have a Bible, if you can turn to Matthew chapter 6, I'll be reading from verse 19 through 21, Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. And then I'm also going to be reading 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18. So we'll start with Matthew 6. This is the words of Jesus. He says, "Do not lay up treasures for yourself on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. The Apostle Paul says, "While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." The title of my message this morning is Living for the Eternal. I want to be somebody who lives for the eternal. And I want to challenge all of us, those of you watching from home or wherever you are and those here in this sanctuary today, to live for the things that really matter, the eternal things. So before we get started, why don't we pray? I encourage you, wherever you're at, just lift up your hands. Let's open up our hearts to what God wants to do today. Jesus, we thank you, God, for this opportunity to come and hear your word today. Jesus, I ask that you would speak to us. Speak to us, God, where we are at. God, I pray that you'd open our eyes to see what truly matters today. God, I pray that you'd move in every single home, every single living room. If somebody's driving somewhere today and they're watching this or listening to this, I pray that you'd meet them in their car as the service progresses today. Bless us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. So I'm just going to preach like, you know, everybody's here. So that's how it's going to go today. With what Jesus said in Matthew 6, I think he really challenges us to really look to what's really important, and that's eternal things. What I see from what Jesus said is this: what you value the most, that's where your heart is going to be found. That's where most of your time is going to be spent. That's where you're going to invest most of your money. That's where you're going to invest most of your efforts, your resources. It's in the things that you treasure the most. So my question to you today is, what do you treasure? What do you value the most? Where can your heart be found? According to Jesus, we only have two options. That is the temporal or the eternal. Those are the two places where our treasure, our hearts can be found. From Jesus' statement in Matthew 6, it's clear what he thinks is most important. And for me, that's all that really matters. What does Jesus think? I'm not interested in what somebody's opinion is. I'm not interested in what others may think is most important. I want to know what Jesus thinks is most important, because he knows. He knows what is right. And it's this. This is what Jesus thinks is most important: heavenly things. In other words, eternal things. It cannot be destroyed. Eternal things cannot be destroyed. They cannot be corrupted. They cannot be defiled. That's what truly matters. And if you have not made up your mind today, I encourage you and I plead with you to make a decision going forward that you're going to live for what truly matters, and that is eternal things. You're not going to live the rest of your life living for only things that are just going to pass away, things that are not going to really matter in the end. But you're going to make a decision to live for the things that truly matter, the eternal things. The reason why I feel such a strong burden to preach this message to you today is because time is running out. We are living in the last days. I am not surprised by what's taking place in our world today. All of us have been affected by the coronavirus, and there's more than just the coronavirus that is happening. We are seeing prophecy fulfilled moment after moment. It seems like almost every day we see prophecy, things that were written down thousands of years ago, coming to pass. We are closer to the second coming of Jesus than we ever have been before. Now is not the time to just settle down and be comfortable. Now is not the time just to settle down and just try to survive and get through everything. But now is the time to really make up in our minds. Whatever goes on in the world, I don't care. I'm living for what truly matters. I might not have my health. I might not have wealth. I might not have a comfortable life. But that's okay, because all those things are going to pass away. And at the end of the day, what truly matters is what is eternal. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 to 13, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hasting the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt in fervent heat." Verse 13, "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens, a new earth in which righteousness dwells. The day of the Lord will come when we least expect it." I know there's many different opinions out there of when people think the Lord is going to come again. I think, you know, that's fine. I'm not against us trying to really look at the scriptures and try to figure out how much time we have left. But at the end of the day, we're not going to know. It's going to come when we least expect it. And the only ones who are going to be ready for when Jesus returns are those who have been living for the eternal. That's why Peter said, because we know that he's coming like a thief in the night, what manner of persons ought we be in holy conduct? These are eternal things that Peter begins to describe. Holy conduct, godliness, looking for that day. We're going to be ready. I'm not necessarily pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. I do have some opinions on what I guess I stand in those things. But ultimately, I'm ready trib. That's where I'm at. I just want to be ready. I just want to be ready. That's all that matters to me. Now, I want to share with you, when talking about living for the eternal, I want to share two examples from the scriptures, two individuals that I think represent those who live for the temporal and those who live for the eternal. The first one I would like to talk about is the example of Esau. Esau, the example of Esau. We find his story back in Genesis chapter 25. Genesis 25, starting at verse 29. Jacob and Esau, they were brothers, and they were born of Isaac. And this is a particular instant situation that I'm going to read about. An instance where I see Esau as a person who lived for only the temporal things. Verse 29, now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, please feed me with the same red stew, for I am weary. Therefore his name is called Edom. But Jacob said, sell me your birthright as of this day. And Esau said, look, I am about to die. So what is this birthright to me? Then Jacob said, swear to me as of this day. So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. Then he ate and drank, arose, and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Now for us, the birthright doesn't necessarily mean so much in our culture today, but back then the birthright was everything. That was his inheritance. The birthright represented his future. And ultimately, I see that his birthright represented his destiny. His destiny. And in a moment where he was hungry, I mean, he said, oh, I'm going to die. What does this birthright mean to me? Esau, it means everything. It means everything. And we see Esau in a moment of weakness, in a moment of looking for, I guess when I see this, Esau was a man who sought instant gratification. When there's any level of discomfort in his life, he sought to remedy that with some sort of form of pleasure as soon as he could. And we see that in that moment, he gives up his future. He gives up his destiny. He gives up his inheritance. Esau was a man who lived for the temporal things. Sought pleasure in temporal things. And he missed out on a future. Missed out on an inheritance. Peter says that we, the church, we as born-again believers, we also have an inheritance. But it's not like a birthright. This one, Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, he says that the Lord has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that does not fade away. It is reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You and I have an inheritance. You and I have an inheritance reserved for us in heaven. We won't necessarily see that inheritance come to pass in this life, but in the life to come, that's when we will receive that inheritance. It's undefiled. It's not like something that can be corrupted and can be destroyed or stolen. This is reserved in heaven for us, and it will be revealed in the last time when Jesus comes to get. And Peter was encouraging the believers, don't get caught up living for this life, because what is coming is so much better than anything this world can offer you. Better than anything this world can offer you. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost. And I hope whoever's watching this, that you really listen to what I'm saying. That you're really listening to what I'm saying today. Yes, having money is nice. Having good health is nice. But at the end of the day, those things are going to go away. When you die, you have no longer access to those things. And if we could just live with that perspective, what truly matters, the eternal things, live in light of eternity, I would say there's a lot of things that start to pale in importance. When we start thinking about eternity, there's so many things that we focus on and worry about today that really don't matter when we think about eternity. And I would hope that who's ever watching this today, who's ever listening to this message today, that you would be careful not to be like Esau, where you live your life seeking to please yourself, where you're a person who looks to just find comfort and avoid pain and appoint and avoid all those things. Don't be like Esau, because Esau missed out on everything. And if you are like Esau, if you're living to please yourself and try to be comfortable and enjoy the things of this world, you're going to miss out on your heavenly reward. I don't want to be like Esau. I don't want to be like Esau. The person I do want to be like is Moses. Moses is the second example I want to present to you today. Moses was a person who lived for the eternal. I'm going to go to Hebrews chapter 11. Read verses 23 through 26. Verse 23 says, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because he saw he was a beautiful child. And they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater than riches, greater than the riches and treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward." Moses could have had it all by the world standards. Moses could have had it all by the world standards. But Moses chose to forsake identifying with the world, chose rather to identify with the people of God, chose rather to get into the will of God, which was to focus on eternal things. And he gave up all that he could have had in Egypt, all the treasures, all the riches, all the status he could have had in Egypt, so that he could be in the will of God. Because he was looking for a reward. He was looking to that eternal reward that was coming his way. He was willing to endure hardships. He was willing to endure some affliction. He was willing to endure some reproach, because he esteemed those things greater than the riches of the world. You know, when I look at Moses and his example, Moses, from his perspective, the eternal things were worth the suffering. The eternal things were worth the discomfort. The eternal things were worth the hardships. Esau didn't see it that way. He wasn't willing to endure hardship. He wasn't willing to endure a little bit of pain or discomfort. But Moses was. And look at the difference of the outcome in their lives. Moses led a whole nation out of bondage. Moses gave us a huge portion of the Old Testament. Moses revealed so much to us about the things of God and the ways of God. Moses lived a life for the eternal. That was his focus. That was his focus. And I think if we want to live for the eternal, we need to look at his example. First thing that Moses did was he refused to be identified with the world. Refused to be identified with the world and the system of the world he was brought up in. Second thing he did is that he chose to live for God, even when there was hardship. But I love what Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 18. "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us." Next thing that Moses did is he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater than the treasures in Egypt. And the last thing is he kept his eye on the prize. He looked for the reward. He looked for the reward, the things that were eternal. Now you might be wondering, well, Brother Jackson, what have you done to live your life for the eternal? I'm not going to take too much time in this, but I will say this. I have changed careers and taken less pay, no benefits, so that I can invest more time in living for the eternal. So that I could invest more time in the work of the Lord, because that's what truly matters. When I get to the end of my life, if that's the will of God, I want to look back and say, I did everything I could to do the will of God, to focus on the eternal things. So I've given up certain careers. I've had jobs in multi-billion dollar companies. I've worked in many different industries, but at the end of the day, there was just something that didn't set right within me. I knew that this isn't what is going to last. This isn't all that there's going to be. There's a world that is coming that truly matters, and I want to be ready for that day. I want to be somebody who can stand before the Lord and say, I did everything that I could. Because hear me today, at some point you're going to stand before Him and give an account for what you did with the life He's given you. I hope that you can stand before Him and say, I did everything I could to focus on the eternal things. Now, I'm not saying that the things that we have to do in this world are worthless, completely worthless. No, we have to work. We have to have jobs. We have to do those things. I work. I focus on those things. But at the end of the day, if those things begin to replace what's truly important, there's a problem. And maybe that's you today. I'm asking you to reevaluate your priorities. Are you living for the eternal? Living for the eternal is not easy. I have lost relationships. I've lost friendships. But I will say this. Any sacrifice I've had to make living for God, God has always provided. When I lost certain friendships and relationships, God brought different people in my life who inspired me and kept me focused on what was eternal, like the Lynns, like the Lynn family, like my wife. I mean, these are people that God has brought into my life who have kept me on the straight and narrow, have kept me focused on what truly matters, and that is doing the will of God. And I'm so thankful for that. I've had to endure some hardships. And I'm not going to go into all the details, but living for God isn't always easy. But it is so worth it. It is so worth it. Trying to plant a church, that isn't always easy. But it's going to be worth it. See, what you're doing today is you're focusing on eternal things. Eternal things. And when you stand before the Lord, I'm sure He's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You're focused on eternal things. You focused on the things that were truly important and mattered the most. Now, as I finish, I just want to encourage you and challenge you to live for the eternal. What are you living for today? I want you to imagine yourself standing before Jesus. And He's looking over your life. Could you say in this moment, if you had to stand before Him right now, that you have been living for the eternal? Can you stand before Jesus and say, yes, God, I've been doing everything I could to the best of my ability to focus on what truly mattered, the eternal things? Or are you like in a position of Esau? Are you focusing on everything else but the eternal? I hope that you don't miss out on the reward that is coming for those who live for the eternal. I want to be one of those who lives for the eternal. And I'm asking wherever you're at, just right now, if you could just lift up your hands and be honest with the Lord and just say, God, I have been misplacing some priorities. And Lord, I'm going to shift my priorities right now so that I can focus my life on what is eternal. Because, folks, here's the deal. He's coming soon, and I want to be ready. I want to be one who's living for the eternal. And I challenge you right now to make some priorities, shift some priorities around so that you can focus on the eternal. Why don't we do that right now? Let's talk to Him. Jesus. Jesus, I want to focus on what truly matters. Lord, I'm sorry for focusing on things that really didn't matter. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for investing more time in pleasures of this world than in prayer, in ministry, in the reading of Your Word, and drawing closer to You. Oh God, I surrender all. Oh, why don't you just sing that wherever you're at, in your living room, in your car. I surrender all.